Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, thank you for tuning in to another brand new episode of the show. Today's episode features my new friends from Nashville, country duo Walker County. I had a great time recording with these sisters, and of course my friend Brian Judy of Freedom Jam also sat in with us, talking about all things Freedom Jam coming up in August. So you're going to learn all about that. You're going to learn about Walker County and their new music. We even do some live jamming. Had a lot of fun recording this one. So hope you enjoy it. I want to remind you that today's show is brought to you by Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up the finest wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. I believe Brian is doing some quarantine porch deliveries right now during this time. So if you need some wine, be sure to reach out at nakedvine.net and he'll be sure to take care of you. Also want to say thank you to Roughneck Beard Company for their support of the show. You can shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15. For an exclusive 15% off your purchase. You know, you can head over there and get yourself some beard oils and beard balm and junk powder and all kinds of wonderful products over there and get yourself cleaned up and looking fresh. Again, roughneckbeardcompany.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook and Instagram. And big shout out to Heil Sound for all their support, making this show sound great. You can shop at heilsound.com right now and get yourself some brand new gear. Get your take your show to the next level. So with that out of the way, I want to also one quick reminder. If you do need any Rock Paper Podcast merch, any shirts, hats, stocking cap, buttons, stickers, whatever it is, I would be happy to send that to you. Feel free to reach out to me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. Let me know what you're listening to. If you have any guests you'd like to hear on the show or anything else, I would love to hear from you guys. So, but anyway, sit back and relax. Enjoy this brand new show. Have a great day, everyone.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Walker County, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beat scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today on Zoom with the girls of Walker County and Brian Judy of Freedom Jam. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is cool. I'm really glad that all this came together. We're all here today and learning this new technology to make this all possible.
For sure.
So it's I know I've been. I do a lot of my stuff, all my recordings in person. So it's, you know, I'm learning just as long as with everybody else to trying to figure out how to make this Zoom possible. But yeah, it's fun. It's cool to see everybody and get to hear everyone and in this time of quarantine lockdown that we're still going on and stuff.
I know we miss this human interaction, so it's nice.
Right. I guess everybody want to go around and introduce themselves for those listening and watching.
Yeah, we're Walker County.
I'm Ivy,
and I'm Sophie. We're sisters, and or country music duo here in Nashville.
Yeah, we moved to Nashville about 5 years ago, but have been playing music together since we were 9 and 12. So I've been doing it for 13 years now, and yeah, we're excited to be part of the Freedom Jam.
Yeah, very cool. Brian, you want to tell us, you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Freedom Jam?
Sure. I'm Brian Judy, the coordinator of Freedom Jam. So it's all proceeds go to Operation Triage, which is a 501c, which basically helps veterans in various aspects, mainly in housing issues. If you can think about, dilapidated houses or somebody just needs a house fixed up, Operation Triage actually steps in and helps do that. And, you know, we figure veterans have done enough sweat equity in their life that they don't need to do anything else, you know, so, and they won't raise their hand to really ask for help. So, we get voluntold. We volunteer because it's the right thing to do. So we want to, apply our resources, apply our community, and just make things a little bit better for them. So, that's what we do. And this whole concert came about and, as a way to raise funds for that. And to achieve those goals, and just for put ticket sales or table sales or whatever in layman's terms, for every 10 tickets, general admission tickets, so every $10 ticket, we can build a ramp for a veteran to use his wheelchair.
Awesome.
So it kind of puts it in reality, you know, because people think, oh, what do I give for my $10? Well, how about what you give for your $10? We'll just say five tables that are sold. Tables are $100. You know, for every five are sold, we can go in and widen every doorway in a veteran's home so he can get his wheelchair through the doorways instead of living out of one room. So that's the best way to think about the whole thing and how the money is being applied and everything. But we got some really cool projects on the books. And without these artists, you know, they just help us raise this money. And they'll get to meet these people. So.
Yeah.
That's Freedom Jam, though.
It's going to be cool.
I'm going to rock it.
Oh, yeah. So August 29th, Freedom Jam happening here in St. Peter's, Missouri, located at the Diamond Music Hall in St. Peter's. And we got an incredible cast of entertainment. We got all sorts of wonderful country singers. And of course, we got Walker County join us that evening. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. I know it.
You can find all tickets at eventbrite.com right now. I guess you can just go there, and I'll have a link on my website. I'm sure the girls have it on walkercountymusic.com as well. But you can just go to eventbrite.com and search Freedom Jam, I'm sure. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, it's already up there. I actually just saw it yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. You want to mention who else along with Walker County will be performing that that day with us?
Oh, there's lots of them. So I guess we'll just kind of kick it off. Molly Lovett will be kicking it off for us at 2:30. So Molly's actually moving down to Nashville to be around you girls June 1st. So you guys are going to have to be like big sister sometime. and meet her, down there. So then we've got Mark Perkins and Outskirts right after that. And then we'll have Carly Rogers, and Carly's will be on Rock Paper Podcast next week, I believe.
Yeah.
So she'll be joining. She's really cool. Matter of fact, she just got the okay to re-release "Don't Close Your Eyes" by Keith Whitley. She was given the rights to do that by Lori Morgan and Jesse Keith.
Oh, that's very cool. I love that.
That does not happen very often. People do not let people release classics, but it's pretty cool. Then we have Mackie Roberts. Mackie was actually on Rock Paper Podcast. He is the most humble, but very smooth. He'll say, "Oh my good," and then next thing you know, you're like, "Wow, dude!" So check him out if you haven't heard him yet. Then we have Flint Hill's own Matt Wynn. Matt's doing some writing, a lot of writing down in Nashville, so he'll be here. So all you hometown people, get out and support Matt. We got Lindsay Bowman. Lindsay was part of Smoking Guns. She's open for Confederate Railroad, Diamond Rio, lots of people. Has a brand new single out called You Don't Get to Know. It's raspy kick butt song. See, I kept it in line there. In case there are children listening. And then we have Darian Lee. She's going to be going live on Facebook Thursday this week. So check her out. She got a brand new song out called Wherever I Go. And it's actually being played locally here on some radio stations. So that's really cool. And then we have Peyton Howie. Peyton was just on with Shane, and she's a hoot, man.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
She's very versatile. So and she's like super excited to meet Walker County. So, and then we have this group, Walker County.
We've gotten that quite a bit, so
that doesn't surprise me. We are so lucky that they're our headliners because they had something else going on, and we worked through it, and here they come.
We're honored. I'm telling you, being a part of things like this is, you know, why we play music and getting to meet everybody, and then also meeting and talking to people while raising money for an awesome cause. So fun. We're very excited to be a part of it. So thank you.
I'm super excited to hang out with your dad. He and I crack up. So.
He's awesome. I'm telling you, he's the best guy. He'll hang out with you all day. It'll be great.
I just hope that you can find him when you go on stage, because he might be with me back jibber jabbering somewhere or something. Shane, you might have to step in with a guitar or something.
All right, yeah. Take one for the team.
There you go.
I think that's cool. If anybody doesn't know, your dad does play in the band, plays guitar in the band. Which I think is really neat that, let alone you have that relationship, but that you get to, you know, tour around the country, getting to play with him and everything else. And
yes, it's really cool. So we started playing music together in 07. Sophie was 9, I was 12, and Dad had played bluegrass in a bluegrass band around town. And so we grew up around music, and he always knew we were interested. And I sang, but we actually took a vacation to Nashville in 2007, and Dad said, "Hey, my girls want to street perform just to say we did it, you know." So we opened the guitar case on 4th and Broadway, what's now Honky Tonk Central, but it was like an old abandoned Irish pub at the time. And we opened the guitar case and sang for about 10 minutes, sang a few songs, and
you made $4.
Yeah, so. We made a little bit of money, and
Dad did the math, and he said, "Girls, if we learn an hour worth of songs and come back next weekend, I'm going to let you guys split the money, and, you know, we could do this."
Yeah, so we just started going on little vacations to Nashville about once a month and street performing. And
blowing all our money we got.
Keep them all. Split the money. We'd go to the Auburn Mills Mall, which was really fun for little kids at the time. We thought we were rich, you know.
Right.
But, it was really cool, and that's how the band started. We went back to Indiana, and Dad said, "If we can do this down here, we can definitely play back home." And that's when we started playing all kinds of churches and festivals and really anywhere they'd let us play. And
we never stopped.
Yeah, all through middle school, high school, and then moving to Nashville afterwards. So it's been a lot of fun, but it's a whole family affair for sure.
So that was the first Walker County gig, was on the streets of Nashville there?
Yeah, it was super crazy. We go down there, it's funny, we live down here, but we're not always on Broadway. We hardly are ever down there. And but we'll go down there every once in a while when we have family in town, and just walking by that little spot, it's just crazy.
And it's so different now. It's so busy compared to when we were come here, but
it's crazy now. It's great.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I just think a lot of fun that you get to, like I said, spend that time with him and getting to play and collaborate and make
music.
And I think what I read online also, I think that you had a cousin or something playing bass or something too for a while.
Cousin Jim played bass with us for a long time, and it was a great time. Mom sells merch for us.
Yeah,
she's always with us, so we bring our dog on the road too, and it's a little family vacation everywhere we go.
Right.
When Walker County's playing somewhere, you basically meet the entire family. So
I just recently met lady by the name of Jocelyn and the Sweet Compression. That's her and her band. And okay. She came to town here in St. Louis, and that was the kind of same kind of thing. Like, I didn't put it all together till, you know, after the event, but she came up and played and tore the house down. She was just incredible. Kind of more soul and R&B and stuff. But then I learned, like, dad's her lead guitar player. Mom's running the merch table, you know? So I'm like, I was talking to everybody. I didn't know I talked to the whole family while I'm here, but
yeah.
So
that's hilarious. Great.
I love it. And we're so glad to be able to do this
together. It is
special.
It makes because we have a lot of big moments, you know, and really cool things will happen, and it makes it even cooler because your whole family's there with you. So it's a cool gig we got going on, but yeah, we're definitely blessed.
Well, I want to drop in some music. If anybody that tuning in that hasn't heard of Walker County yet, we got a little backstory, but let's give them a little taste of what they've been missing out on. And you all just released this single a couple months ago, but it's all over, blowing up right now. We got the Hamptons, and that's, you can find the video, of course, on the YouTube channel, and I'm sure on CMT, right?
Yeah, it premiered on CMT, which was like a dream come true for us. Getting to call our family back home and be like, hey, turn on CMT right now, you know? And it was cool too, because we also filmed that video back in Sulphur Springs, Indiana. That song is all about, it's all about, you know, being proud of where you grew up. And so when we talked about filming that video, we were like, we have to film it, of course, in our hometown. So we went back and filmed it in the Iron Kettle, which if you ever drove to Sulphur Springs, the Iron Kettle's the there. We filmed on the family farm, which was awesome, getting to have that family history in the video. And then at the very end, of course, we got about the whole town of Sulphur Springs in the last shot.
The whole
shot.
Family, yeah.
the whole 390 people of Sulphur in there. That? So
magical video shoot, yeah. I'm sure. It was such a fun time.
I'm glad you said that, because that was actually one of the things I was thinking. I'm like, you know, I saw these people show up, and I'm just like, that's got to be the hometown. Like, it's just got to be.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
and so I'm glad to hear that. That was really a cool moment there for sure.
Yeah. Our town, Sulphur Springs, it has a population of 390, and we started laughing because we got more and more of the town involved, and we started looking around, and we were like, we're related about all these people.
They called up everybody. We were like, hey, come over to Johnny's house. You know, our cousin, he was throwing the party. And
It was
ended up being almost the whole population of the town.
Yeah.
Wasn't paved in gold, and your spoon might have not have been silver in your Fruit Loops bowl. So you turn 16 with some Dollar Tree streamers strung up at the Pizza Hut. Closest that you've been to Hollywood is when you went to Dollywood. Well, so what? We're all a bunch of dots on maps, little towns that nobody's heard of. Grew up and going to the world, trying to show them all what we're made of. Then we spend our lives trying to turn boxes into mansions. Be proud of where you came from. Nobody's from the Hamptons. Nobody, nobody, nobody's from the Hamptons. So your three-room double wide ain't sitting on a seaside coast. And your yacht, it's an 8-foot John boat, but hell, it flows. You might be making extra cash working weekends at the sunglass kiosk in the mall, or you'll get rich quick with a quick stop winning number ticket playing Powerball. We're all a bunch of dots on maps, little towns that nobody's heard of. Grew up and going to the world, trying to show them all what we're made. Nobody's from the Hamptons.
rocks, wine, mason jar drinkers. We're all a little homemade, hand-me-down, hang around greener grass dreams.
This, again, you call your local radio stations, wherever you tell them to play Walker County, the Hamptons, today. And, but this, this is a fun song, and I related a lot to it just, personally. You know, it felt, I come from a small town. My small town is not quite small town anymore. Things have changed a lot over the years, but when I grew up here, you know, again, I live, you know, maybe 2 miles or something from the home I grew up in. And I've been here within the same area for the last 35 years of my life. And so I've watched a change a whole lot over those years.
Yeah.
And so I definitely connect to a lot of the lyrics in this song, you know, from dollar store streamers at your Pizza Hut. And
Well, it was funny because we're friends with the lovely people who wrote this song, and right when we heard it, we were like, I think they wrote this about us. It was right. The turn of 16 with the Dollar Tree streamers. We grew up in a double wide. I mean, just everything was like so spot on. And we knew we weren't the only people who, you know, grew up that way. So we knew people would really relate. So I'm glad to hear that, because it's a song to us. We love our hometown. We go back quite a bit because our whole family still lives there. So I'm glad you can relate.
It's sad when Newcastle's the big city.
Yes, I know. I'm telling you,
we're in little Newcastle too.
I know. I crack up because people go like, when we all talk about soft food, they'll be like, "But where did you go and eat out?" And I said, "Well, there was, if you wanted to eat somewhere fancy, you went to the Applebee's in Newcastle. That was the fancy restaurant, you know." So. And now they have a B-Dubs, which is like the commodity right now. So.
And a White Castle.
Yeah. A little bit.
That's my favorite thing about songwriting, though, is like just having that connection to like where it feels like they're telling your story. And so it's cool to hear too, again, that you all, even as songwriters, that you still find these songs that are telling your story like that, that you relate to it on that level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we were cutting this record, they asked us, they're like, "Were you guys open to outside songs from other songwriters?" And we were like, "Absolutely," because as songwriters here in Nashville, you write and write and write, but you hear a song, and if it moves you, there's no, just because we didn't write it, we'd be silly to cut it. Yeah. So when we heard that song, we were like, "Oh, there's no way we can't cut this song." So, which we're excited too, because now the album is very close to being done, and you're going to hear originals that we've written and outside cuts, which we can't wait to share, because those songwriters are so talented. They're crazy talented. So
yeah. Well, thinking about all this, I've been watching this show on NBC called Songland now, which I've been to mention it with Brian the other day too, but I've been really enjoying this. It's that whole songwriter process, you know, like these people are kind of coming in, pitching their songs and to hopefully get a cut on Martina McBride's record or whoever.
Yeah, you know. It is. You get to see behind the scenes of songwriters' so cool. lives. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And actually, so Shane McAnally, he's a judge on Songland. Right. He actually wrote with us one of the songs that we cut on the album called Drag It Out. So you guys will be hearing that. He's awesome. So.
Yeah. I heard that on you did the little Facebook Live concert Monday.
Yeah.
Heard that song. Heard you mention Shane. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because, like, Shane is – he's incredible. That guy.
I'm telling you.
That's, he's one of my favorites, just watching him like dissect a song and like flip one line or what. And they're all, I mean, the whole cast is all really good at that. But, you know, Shane's particularly one of my favorites for sure. So
we got to write with him quite a bit. And but when we wrote Drag It Out with him and David Garcia, it was such a cool experience because we knew the direction of where the album was going. And so we knew what we really needed in a song. And he came in and he brought that song to life. I remember him saying, my favorite line in it was, "The first word in goodbye has always been go." And when he said that line, me and Seven Growth went, "Oh, that's genius. That's genius." And I was like, "You just wrote the whole song. That's all we need." And but things like that, where you, like, as artists, you know, sometimes we focus more on the artist thing than the songwriting. And then as someone who all they do every day is write, you go,
it's just incredible.
You learn so much from them because they're the people who, I mean, they know what they're talking about. And they come up with lines like that you're just like, "Oh, I would have never thought of that," you know?
Right. So,
awesome.
Yeah,
they did come up with "Tell Them About Wallflowers and Weeds," because that's pretty cool. That's a cool story.
That made us feel like songwriters.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. We wrote a song like when we first moved here. It was maybe like a year into our
Nashville journey.
We were writing with everybody new and all this stuff, and we wrote this song called "Wallflowers and Weeds," and we loved it, but we just never had anything to, like, we had nothing to do it with. Like, we wanted
just
to kind
of, nowhere to put it, really.
But it was just something that wasn't right. So we just kind of put it to the side, and then just a couple years ago, maybe was it 2 years ago?
It was
ago
just
now?
Last year.
We got this prom saying that Blake Shelton was going to be in a movie and he needed a song to sing for it. And
they told us the movie was Ugly Dolls and it was going to be, you know, out in all theaters, and it was a musical kind of, you know, movie. And they're like, "Blake needs a song about, you know, empowering people to be themselves," kind of. And when they said that, we like immediately thought of Wallflowers and Weeds because we always wanted to do something with that song. And so when you send in songs for artists like Blake Shelton, you kind of just send it in with a prayer, and usually you never hear anything back. You're like, "Okay, we send it, we'll see what happens." But our manager, who's like, "Hey, I'm sending in Wallflowers and Weeds," and the guy, the first guy who heard it, he loved it and wants to play for Blake. So we're like, "Okay, cool." Well, then we didn't hear anything for probably like 4 months, and we were like, "Oh, he probably cut something else." Then we went into a meeting at Warner Brothers, which Blake is signed at Warner with us under the same label, and our A&R, she said, "Blake's actually going to be in the studio next week cutting Wallflowers and Weeds." And we're like, "What?" We're like, "Hold up. No, wait a minute. You mean the song we wrote?" And she's like, "Yeah." She's like, "He's out in California and he's cutting it next week." And they were talking about the producer. They were flying out to cut it and all that stuff. And we could not believe it. It was a really surreal moment. And he put it out on the Ugly Doll soundtrack. It's number 15. If you want to check it out.
There you go.
But it was such a cool moment too, because that song is very special to us. It's all about just being truly who you are, being yourself, and unafraid to be yourself. And so having Blake Shelton sing a song like that you wrote was just crazy.
Cool.
Very crazy.
Yeah. Have you got to meet him since that?
Well, maybe, I think it was before.
Okay. He's, I don't even know if he is in Nashville or not.
I know, but a lot of the times, so we'll go to parties at Warner, and he's fine there, but I think he lives in California. I think he lives in California a lot of times, so we don't see him too much, but we have seen him around at a few parties, which is
He's busy doing the voice all the time. He's got and he's got Gwen at home. He's got to keep, you know, she's a California girl.
Yes. So. Love her. Yeah. We actually, the first time we met him, she was with him. And she's so beautiful. We were like, "Who is that? You know, that's Gwen Stefani. Oh my gosh." Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Very cool. He just, he definitely seems like one of the, you know, most fun people, like, just, and the couple, both of them just seem like they'd be a lot of fun to hang with. So.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Also, on the topic of songwriting, I wanted to bring up, so you two, along with a bunch of other incredible women, were named CMT's next, top, next women of country, for class of 2020. And when I noticed that, I went through and I'm looking at some of the names because there was a few I didn't know. So I wanted to learn and do some homework. And one of those girls or women on there was Haley Witters. And yeah. I just learned of her name. And I found the song Janice at the Hotel Bar.
Yes.
And blew me away. This song was incredible. And it was really refreshing to hear something like that. Just like, I mean, you know, just it's, I love connecting to a good song like that. And so thank you, in return somehow through CMT, like learning about you and then discovering another great artist. And, so cool.
Yeah. Haley, it was really cool because, another kind of story about songwriting is, Haley, she's the sweetest. And we actually got our first ever with Haley. We wrote with her, and we actually wrote the song called The Real Thing, and Martina McBride ended up cutting that song. And yeah. So
we kind of went back
it,
with Haley
it was really,
a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we knew that she was going to be in our class of 2020 with us. And
so it was super cool to see her as the class, and we got our first cut mm-hmm. with her. So that was really neat. Yeah.
She's also going to be touring with Tanya as well as us. And so it's going to be a fun time, but
she's really awesome.
She's great. She's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So what's that like when you get a call that Martina wants to cut a song you were part of?
That was
crazy. Cause that was our first ever cut. It was the first year we were here as well.
Yeah.
And that was just so cool. It just kind of, one of those moments you look back and you go, am I really here? Is this really happening? All this hard work, it's finally like paying off. And it's just really cool to be able to say, Martina cut one of our songs.
When we opened for her, we got to open her for her probably a year after she cut that song. And she talked about it on stage and how we were the girls that wrote the song and all that stuff. So, I mean, that was really, really neat hearing her talk about it. And that album was really great too. It has a lot of really good songs on it. You guys have to check it out.
But. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I'm. I also discovered 10 Year Town from Haley, and that's one that really kind of tapped into like some of like the not so glamorous side of what you know Nashville. You know, too, like there are those that you know you were fortunate enough to get a cut your first year in, like you said, but like there's people that have been grinding away at this for years and years. And she says, I'm 12 years into a 10-year town. And like, so
yeah,
it was really kind of, I mean, it was sad, but it was, you know, really well-written, beautiful song. And, you know, to look at a different side of this life and stuff.
It is. Sure. It is a lot. Like, you know, I feel like when you move here, you do think everything moves really fast and that you, you'll move there and you'll get your record out and it'll, you know, you'll be on number one. And then you slowly start coming to reality and go, we've been here for 6 years now. And haven't put out our first radio single, which, you know, when you think you're like, oh, that'll happen in no time. And then, you know, 6 years later, you're like, so when's that first radio single coming out, you know? But, it's a lot of growing. I think a lot of learning.
And I know, like, compared to how we were when we first moved here, like, me and Ivy have grown so much and became the artists that we are now and kind of know more about who we are. And
Sophie was 16 when we first moved to Nashville. So, I mean, from 16 to 22, you're a bit different, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I think, you know, you learn a lot here in Nashville, and it isn't easy. It isn't, nothing is handed to you. Right. It's a lot of climbing. And it's funny too, because like when we got signed with Warner, we were super blessed, to be signed and moved down. But then when you move here, you know, Warner is one of the top labels, but you also move here and then you're kind of at the bottom trying to rebuild and kind of restart once you move to Nashville, because nobody knows who you are. No one knows your music. You're these two chicks Indiana, you know. They're like, oh, you got to kind of prove yourself here and show that you can work hard. And so it is kind of like it's a lot of work and a lot of patience. We've learned patience for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that song, I know she's played, we've heard her play it a lot, and it's pretty true. So
yeah. I have a few friends down there doing it, trying to, you know, they're chasing the dream, they're doing the grind, and they're working, collaborating. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a city like Nashville is, like, there are a lot of people down there trying to make it, and everybody has the dream, but the fact that anywhere you turn, there's another incredible songwriter next door, you know, or whatever, and the opportunities are there to collaborate and create something great together. And but of course, you got world-class musicians all over town too. So
crazy good. I'm telling you, that was one thing. You know, you come down here and you go to any bar, any church. Like, I remember going to church on Sunday, and I was like, whoa, this church brand is insane. Like, I mean, everybody is so talented here. It's it makes you step up your game. It really does. You start looking around, you're like, man, everybody is just so talented and wants it just as bad as you do. So, you know, it's a cool town, because it does, you know, if you're into music at all, I always say you don't have to be into country to move to Nashville, because I think any genre right now, Nashville is really dominating it.
Sure.
I mean, got a lot of pop, a lot of rock, a lot of Christian artists, country. So, if you're into music, it's the place to be right now. Yeah.
Hey, did you try to pay your tab at the door, you know, when you went to church? Your entry fee.
I'm telling you, that one band, I was like, oh my God, can we like tip this band?
Yeah. Like
trying to offer a bucket.
Ivy, go sit down. Stop doing that.
Yeah. Do the collection plate. Do you all want to play something live for us?
Yeah, for sure.
We mentioned Drag It Out. Is that like the next single you're thinking, or do you have
a... You know what? We're actually talking about that Tuesday, so we should know more on Tuesday, but we could totally play Drag It Out since we've been talking about that.
I'll be down for that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, good. That was fun.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. So we mentioned the I guess it'll be the debut album coming soon. We got the single out there, of course, The Hamptons. You can stream it wherever you're getting your digital music. Be sure to check out the video on the YouTube channel. Click subscribe and keep an eye out for some brand new music like Drag It Out coming soon. This was that was a lot of fun. And you can find everything at walkercountymusic.com.
Yes.
And I had a couple of questions. We had Brian asked some of the entertainment that we mentioned if they had any questions for you also. And so if you don't mind answering a couple of these. My friend Sarah wrote in. I posted that you all were coming on the show. And if they had any questions, my friend Sarah Hoth writes in, who designs their outfits? Obviously, anybody that watched the video, you, a couple of snazzy dressers. You got pretty flashy, so.
Oh, that's what I'm telling you. Our second favorite thing other than playing music is getting dressed up, for sure. So most of the time, it's Sophie and me putting our outfits together. We absolutely, that's one of our passions, is getting to find pieces on that will look good on stage, that are different, that you can't find everywhere. We love doing that. But Sonia,
for the video, we had Sonia.
Christensen.
She's a stylist from LA.
Yeah.
She does people like Gwen Stefani and J-Lo. Yeah. And she was kind enough to help us out for the video.
Yeah,
and we love her, and she'd done a couple photo shoots with us before.
So she knew exactly what we were looking for, and we kind of wanted that, you know, for Hampton's juxtaposition where it was very like farm life, but us in these really glam dresses. And when we told her that, she was like, she sent out, I think the first day she sent out like 100 dresses, and we went in there and tried on, we tried on,
it was a lot of clothes,
many clothes, and we narrowed it down to those outfits, and it was a dream come true for us to get into some of those dresses, because let me tell you, we had to send some of those back. They were very expensive.
Very pricey.
And I remember she brought this one dress, and it's the dress I'm wearing that's kind of see-through. It's flowery black. And she wouldn't let me walk in it. Like, anywhere I would go, she would have to walk over to me, pick it up, and then I could walk. And then she would, it was like, some of those dresses were like, I'm ready to get this off because I'm afraid I'm going to break it. But
right.
she was, the outfits were so fun. That was so fun. Yeah.
Maybe we need to pitch to the idea to CMT, try to get like a fashion show or something, makeover.
Yes,
or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
We'll be the first to sign up for that one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Molly Lovett writes in, who's will be appearing at Freedom Jam. She writes in, what's the biggest show you've played so far, in your opinion?
There's a couple that come to mind.
Pretty big. There was a fair in Indiana. We opened for Toby Keith, and there was 9,000 crowd. And it was packed, and we opened for him, and we got to play our 45-minute set, and then he came on, and then a storm came through, and he only got to play
20 minutes. It was kind of crazy how it all happened, but we felt bad. We were like, thanks for your crowd, Toby. It was so much fun. I think like big for us, was probably the Willie Nelson concerts we did. Those were
really amazing.
Seeing somebody that pictures of around your house and albums, and then seeing him in person. And we actually, his manager came up to us before he went on, and he said, hey, Willie would love for you guys to come up on stage and sing with him during, he does a gospel medley. And he was like, would you guys want to do that? I'm like, yes. And so,
sure, why not?
So we got to go up and sing with Willie Nelson, which that was, probably one of the biggest moments for us, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Now I know where the idea comes from for Freedom Jam, the last song.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Well, so the cool thing about the Will the Circle thing, which we're excited to include all the artists who'd like to come up and sing Will the Circle Be Broken with us at the end of the show. We ended with Will the Circle Being Broken probably since we started.
See, we were from the very beginning.
And we used to have any of the little kids out in the audience, we'd say, hey, we're ending with Will the Circle, and we'd give them a tambourine or a shaker or something that they could come up and play with us. And so it was cool when we were, I know Dad was talking with Brian about what we could do to include everybody at the end. And we were like, well, the circle, there we go. And so we're excited to get to, because I feel like that song is all about, you know, just, you know,
coming together and
celebrating. And we're celebrating for the Freedom Jam that day with everybody. So we're excited for that.
So Shane, there is a chance for us.
Yeah.
Say there's a chance.
You want to come up there?
Get your mouth hammery. You know, you can
egg shaker.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, that. I'm sure that's. I mean, that's got to be a huge pinch yourself kind of moment when you get that. You know, that you get to share the stage with Willie, and let alone share the stage.
Size wise, though, we actually did play. For 15,000 at the Windy City Smokeout.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we played a Chicago festival that had about 15,000 there, which that was probably the most people we played for. But biggest moment for us was definitely Willie or me and Roy Harris. That was awesome too. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Lucas Nelson too. So it's cool to see. Yeah, it's great to see those two jamming together.
Oh, cool! Yeah, he was there that night. So I think what was his other son's name? He was up there on stage.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember his name. Yeah. But. Both of his sons were there that night.
I mean, they're all about the family too. They do a lot of family jam kind of things like that too. So
yeah,
a lot of similarities there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Let's see. What's Matt Wynn writes in. Of course, everybody at the time of this recording, we're all in still dealing with some of the coronavirus COVID-19 things going on, but. Matt writes in, how do you think COVID-19 will affect live music going forward, and have a good majority of your tour dates this year been canceled or rescheduled?
Yeah.
They sure have been.
It's been crazy. We had a huge year ahead of us before all this happened. We were busy about every weekend of the year, and when this hit, all of our shows canceled up until August
29th.
August
29th.
August, they moved our Tanya dates to August as well. So we're hoping that those stay. They're all up kind of north of New York, Canada. So we'll see how you know, the different states are doing it kind of different. But I think it'll change a lot. I don't know. You know, it's crazy because you think about, well, if everything does open, will they still put restrictions on the size of the crowd?
Like, I would guess.
You know, I think it's all going to be a little different. We're going to have to learn how to, you know, I think every state might do something different. Right. You know, it could be something like that. But I'm hoping by August, everything's kind of figured out.
A lot of stuff has moved, though, till next year, you know. So
Lot of our festival dates have, like, taken everybody who was on the lineup this year and just put them on next year's lineup. So
you just got to kind of take it one day at a time, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, one thing that's kind of, I guess, look at the bright side of things is you guys have probably picked up a lot of people maybe didn't know who Walker County was, or even these independent artists that didn't know who they were, because they've been not forced, but they love music. So how are they going to get out and get to people? And it's through stuff like this podcast through Facebook Live or whatever, and more people see them like, oh, I never heard of them. Just like Shane was talking about, you know, it's like 6 degrees of separation, you know, and then you find something and you're like, oh, wow, that's like my favorite now, you know.
That is very true, because, you know, now the only way of communication is kind of like lives, and we've done a ton more lives than we've ever done. You know, we have a kind of learn
how to do. And it helps us, you know, just be more active on social media. And that's always a good
we noticed a spike in like our UK following, which was really cool because somebody shared our live to a UK page of country music over there. And so it is crazy. You are kind of gaining a new following because of the live. So that was really cool. We're
that
like,
is
oh.
a great positive way to look yeah. at it. Yeah.
yeah. I remember your first live and the phone was sideways. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. We actually didn't know what we were doing.
We learned a lot about doing lives in the past 2 months because we had done a few before, but not really because we were on the road. So getting to really sit down, we've had to learn so much about Zoom and all kinds of stuff. So
the Freedom Jam link was on there, but you had to do this to see the Freedom Jam link.
Yeah. We figured it out. We got it.
Oh yeah, it got fixed.
So you're saying maybe a world tour 2021 then, right? Going to the UK.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
We love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Darian Lee writes in, what are you looking forward to the most when quarantine is over?
I can't wait to go to a restaurant.
I was just about to
sit down and eat. I miss that so much. And maybe go to a movie. I've missed the movies too.
Oh, yeah. It is. I think it's funny how you, I didn't think I lived a social lifestyle until I was forced to stay home. And then I was like, man, I miss going out to eat. I miss, you know, going over to this person's house or this person's house. So it is, I think, just kind of getting back to normalcy and going out to restaurants and for me, it's hitting the road. I'm so ready to start touring again. Yeah.
We miss people.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That's a huge part of my life. And for me, like sitting home, you know, for what, 2 months or whatever it's been now, like, you know, no shows, no live music's really starting to weigh on me. I just.
Yeah. I think as artists too, and I think as people, you kind of addicted to like that live music feeling and being like being in front of somebody and connecting with them with your music. So I think missing that, I love the lives, but you definitely miss that like in-person connection with the audience for sure. So
excited for Freedom Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to get out and get some hugs and high fives going.
I know.
Yeah. So, tickets for Freedom Jam available at eventbrite.com. Again, August 29th at Diamond Music Hall in St. Peters, Missouri. And you can find everything else, Walker County, again, at walkercountymusic.com. More tour dates, be sure to follow on Facebook and Instagram. I wanted to mention, too, I think it's cool. I mean, obviously, you see it in the music video and today as you were jamming on the cajon there, Sophie. But I think it's really great to see you drumming. I mean, it's one, you don't see a ton of female drummers at all, really.
Right.
So I do imagine, like, that's got to be pretty cool for you to, you know, seeing other young ladies in the crowd and that are noticing that and, like, want to drum and stuff, too.
I'm telling you what, it is so inspiring. I think it's the funnest at the end of every show. If there's a little girl that I see that's really enjoying herself in the front or whatever, I give her a drumstick. And there's been a couple girls that have been like, their dads messed me up. Like, I had to get so-and-so a drum kit because she just couldn't.
Yeah.
She was like, she had to play those drums just like you. And that is so touching. And that's just... It's just so
really cool because as a big sister, I love looking back there because she's a total about it, you know, back there rocking out. And I love being able to turn around and see her. But you can see, especially on like we were on the CMT tour last year and got to go around to a lot of different places. And I think when I was younger, there wasn't really a young drummer. I can't remember, you know, a young female drummer that I even thought like, oh, I'll learn the drums. It just was automatically like, oh, a guitar. You know, it just kind of was the natural thing for me to learn. And then when Sophie was, you were 10 when you started drums, right?
Yeah, 10.
And
10 years old.
It was funny because people go, how did you, but did you want to learn the drums? And we had started the band and Sophie started playing mandolin. Well, we started kind of getting out of the bluegrass phase of music and started playing country. And Dad just brought home a sparkly drum set one day, and he was like, "Hey, you wanna play the drums, Sophie?" And Sophie immediately became obsessed. So I think it's so cool to see other little girls having a role model of doing something that's very a male dominated kind of instrument and showing something a little different.
It's so cool. I love it.
Yeah. It's got to be an incredible feeling just to, and then I think about that, nowhere near that scale, of course, but the ripple effect, that you can have an impact on one person's life and what that might do to the next person and whatever and so on. So it's cool if you can just make a difference in one person's life, whether that's them coming to your show and seeing you play and they're like, I want to do that. I want to go play drums because you were those girls at one time watching those shows. Yeah, I want to do that. And
that is so true. And it is so special to me. That's my favorite part of all of it. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. So I guess we did kind of cover a little bit of it, going through some of your experiences in Nashville. But do you have any particular advice besides the hard work for anybody that's looking to make that move, that's thinking about it?
Yeah, I think, I think when you come to town, you're going to have a lot of people in your ear about what's popular to do, and certain ways that songs are written. I think the main thing for us, it was make sure you stay true to who you are. I think that's the number one thing, because when you come to Nashville, you're inspired and you want to learn, but you also need to keep what makes you,
because that's what's going to set you apart from everybody else.
Not that learning is a bad thing. Of course, we've changed so much since we first moved to Nashville. Our sounds changed, certain things, the way we write has changed, but we've always tried to keep a foot in who we were.
And you can always tell when somebody's trying to pull you from what you are, and you can get that feeling, go, you know what, that's not me, and I'm not going to do that or whatever.
And it's okay to say that too, because I think people will gain respect for you when you stand up and go, this is what I really want to do. This is who I am. This is the way I want to dress, sing, write.
We've heard it all. And, even things like how we dress and how we do our makeup, and, it's just us. And
you just got to be who you are, for sure. 100%. I think that's the biggest thing, is learning is good, but, Don't change too much about yourself, because that's what made you special and made people like you in the first place. I think two people can tell when you're not being genuine and not being yourself. I think you can look, and so I think you connect better with people when you're just like, this is it. This is what you get, So that's our biggest piece of advice, is stay true to yourself in all of it.
Shane, I don't know about you, but that kind of gave me goosebumps when I was just hearing that, because, with our event, it's all about community. It's about people coming together. We got young artists coming. We've got seasoned artists coming, all that kind of stuff. And when they were just talking about that, I was really proud, because they're so genuine. And it's true. They are who they are, And
for sure.
Look at me getting choked up. That's crazy. But no, seriously, that's the kind of people that we want.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
And to put in front of people. So
we're so happy to be a part of Freedom Jam, and I hope that everybody comes out and supports this great cause.
Yeah, we're ready to watch some great music too. We'll be out there watching music all day. So we're excited to chill too.
I have a request, Shane.
Yeah, man.
So they do a killer Jolene. They do a killer Joe.
Yeah.
Could you guys sing it?
Are you hitting at something, Brian?
I think I got something in my eye. I think it's my hair.
If you guys don't care, we'll
sing
it.
Yeah.
Play it. Yeah, I want to hear it, because it's a lot of people know the song, and they come from classic roots, so let's jam.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene. You
Yeah.
I felt like I just ran a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like dancing. Like, that's what we want. Need a drink now.
Yeah. I have a cousin named Jolene. I can't help but to sing it every time I see her. Just
oh, yeah.
And I'm sure she hates it because she's probably heard it her whole life. But as you,
oh, yeah.
You have to sing it if you're going to say it. You gotta sing it.
Awesome. That, yeah, for sure.
So, well, very cool. This has been incredible. This has been a lot of fun getting to meet you two officially, virtually.
Yeah, and
I can't wait to hang on August 29th at Freedom Jam.
Yeah.
We're
so excited.
And then, grab them tickets, come bring your dancing shoes, come out and have a good time with us. And all for a good cause, is raising funds for Operation Triage to help support our veterans and our first responders and active service members. So it's going to be an incredible day. Anything you got to add, Brian?
No, just everybody go out and listen to the Hamptons. They didn't really tout Time Machines much, but I love it. And I try to find Mirror Mirror somewhere because they got a song that they sing called Mirror Mirror. That is,
I'm glad you like that song. We're hoping that it's we're hoping you'll be able to find it shortly. So
you have to. It doesn't.
I do want to cut. I do want to say Time Machine, and that's another song that like kind of hits home for me because that's one of my favorite things about music as well, is it the way that it's able to time travel. I can put on a song from high school and go right back to those days, being,
oh, for sure.
Of course, you say you'll be 17 for the next 3 minutes, but that's where, you know, for me, it's 16. That's when I first got my car, and I'm like, you know, those songs that I remember playing in my car all the time, driving around with my buddies and stuff and that kind of thing. So.
And when was the first time you heard that song?
Huh?
I was asking Shane, when's the first time you heard that song?
Heard Time Machine?
Yeah.
Oh,
yesterday?
Yeah, 2 days ago now, I guess. So, yeah.
And look how much of a difference it made. I mean,
yeah,
it makes an impact.
But I mean,
I'm glad you love it. That's one of our favorites.
Oh, yeah. We wrote that one with a good friend of ours. And the moment we wrote that one, it immediately became one of our favorites. I mean, I was like, this song is special. There's something about it. So I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another a fun one. And like I said, that's the beauty of it, of music, you know. And of course, you document it well in that song. But that's one of my favorite things.
And people just go out and tell our local radio stations to play Walker County. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it works. It's, tell them what you want to hear. That's it. That's why they have those request lines and stuff. So, this has been a ton of fun. Can't wait to see you all in person next time. And so.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you for this
opportunity to get on here and talk with you, Shane, and me, Brian. It's been a lot of fun to get to hang out with y'all. Yeah. So thank you.
Very cool. Well, thanks, everybody.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.